We'd open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8, and this morning I would like to speak on the 45th benefit of receiving the true understanding of the Son of God and His relationship to the Father, and that is that God has promised us that we will be conformed to the image of His eldest Son, Jesus. So reading from Romans chapter 8 and from verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come with great respect and thanksgiving for what You have done for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You have anointed with Your great Spirit. And as we read from this verse of Scripture, we see that it was in Your purpose and plan that we are to be conformed to the same image of Your eldest Son, Jesus. For You said the reason for our becoming conformed to the image is that You might place Him as the firstborn among many brethren. And so we realize that if there are many brethren, then Jesus is our older brother. And You, dear God, are definitely our Father, in the same manner as He was Your only begotten Son. You also told us, dear Father, that by one Spirit we are all baptized into this one body, and that baptism by that one Spirit is Your Spirit, which has been given to us to give us new birth into Your family of God. And that makes You our Father. So, Father, we commit, Lord, our thoughts this morning. We therefore, Father, want to come as Jesus came, and we know that if we are to be conformed to His image, then we know that it must come the same way that it came for Him. For You created the character that was so represented in Your Son through the trials and sufferings that He had to go through. He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And we know that we must suffer with Him if we are to reign with Him. Therefore, Father, as Jesus, Your oldest Son, prayed that we might be one, even as You and He were one. We pray also that we might be one with You in the like manner as our older brother Jesus was. And now, Father, we commit this service into Thy keeping. In the blessed name that You gave Your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we will examine this principle of becoming conformed to the image of the eldest Son Jesus. Now, just think of that. We've been ordained to be conformed to the image of His eldest Son, Jesus, that Jesus might be the eldest in a vast family of brothers. Notice the Scripture tells us that those whom He foreknew, He did predestinate. Now, what does it mean to foreknow? Well, the word foreknow was translated from the Greek word prognosko. You all heard the word prognosis. Prognosis means that you know beforehand, or you're telling what's going to happen. Well, the word prognosko is made up of two words. Pro, which means it's a prefix, meaning to be beforehand. And the word gnosko, which means to know. Not just to have a mental conception, but to know also in an intimate way. The same word gnosko was used by Mary when she said, "How can I be with child having known, gnoskoed no man?" So we see that this word not only has to do with a knowing on a mental understanding, but in an intimate way, a knowing by having a relationship. For whom He did foreknow, for whom He did know beforehand in an intimate way, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice then, those that were in His mind, or the mind of God, before the world was ever framed, He did predestinate to be conformed to the same image of His eldest Son, Jesus. Notice He said predestinate. Now, to many, this is a dirty word. They do not like that word because the word predestinate comes from two words, meaning the word pre, meaning beforehand, and destinate, which is the root of destiny. Therefore, it speaks of knowing and planning the destiny beforehand. The Greek word used is the word pro orizo, and it comes from two Greek words, pro, meaning beforehand, and horizo, which means to determine or to ordain. In other words, to mark out the boundaries and the limits beforehand. That means to appoint beforehand. Now, this doctrine of predestination is not well liked amongst the legalist, because he has a hard time holding you in bondage when you've been set free by the doctrine of predestination. It also speaks of the one who is doing the ordaining in contradistinction to the one who is being ordained. Thus, the emphasis is on the supreme and sovereign God who plans out beforehand your destiny rather than on your ability to make a right decision and make your own destiny. You don't have a decision in the process. He chose you, or you have no representation in the first place. Either he chose you in him before the foundations of the world, or you won't be there at the end. You see? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. So if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and reading from verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see here that Jesus had both a God and a Father. He says, "Blessed be the God." Notice he's talking about who's blessing. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And now he's going to tell us something about this God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Who?" And notice he's still talking about the one who is both God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. "God, the Father of Jesus, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, what or who is this Christ that we're reading here? Notice he says, "God, the Father of Jesus, the God of Jesus, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so we say, okay, now, we have to ask the question. What or who is this Christ that he's talking about? Now remember, when you see the word Christ, it comes from the root word krio, which means anointing. And therefore either speaks of the one who is doing the anointing or the one who is being the anointed. He is not speaking of Jesus, the Son of God here, for we were not in Jesus, the Son of God, before the world began. Or Jesus, the Son of God, would be our Father. Well, then that would make God your grandfather, and God don't have grandkids. So this Christ that we were in before the foundations of the world was the Anointer himself. You see? Therefore, this Christ that we were in before the foundations of the world is Christ the Anointer, which is God himself. And it was while that we were in him that he chose us, which means that he selected us out to be holy and without blame. The same one that selected his son Jesus to be holy and without blame has selected you while you were yet in him, in his thoughts, before the foundations of the world, to be holy and without blame. So how are you going to stop it? According as he, God, hath chosen us in him, or in himself, that speaking of God, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That word "before" is in presence, though. In prosody, it means to be in his presence. The presence of him. Well, who's the him? It's God. And who is God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, he has chosen us to be holy and without blame in his Word. Now, notice then, the next thought that Paul tells us here in Ephesians 1. In verse 5, he says, "In love, having predestinated us," that means it was his love that set forth and ordained our destiny even before we were sent into this world. Now remember, Paul said there remaineth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And remember, we've explained to you that faith is a revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation that springs forth from the revelation. And love is an outward expression. So God outwardly expressed by predestinating. He had the thought in his mind. It was a revelation to him. The thought was there. He brought forth his son Jesus, who is the great hope. And then it came forth into manifestation in love. In love, having predestinated us. Having, past tense, predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Notice, he already predestined your path to adoption. How are you going to stop him? Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Oh, I love this. Notice he set forth our adoption even while we were still yet in him. And the reason why he did this, Paul tells us, is according to the good pleasure of his will. God so loved you even before you came into this world that he set forth your adoption because it was pleasing for him to do this. Then it has nothing to do with your ability or anything that you can do. But it is totally God's doing, and you have no say in it whatsoever. And notice in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath, past tense, it is already a done deal. And what is already a done deal? Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now that word Beloved was transformed from the Greek word agape, which means to recognize as divine love. But this is not speaking of the adverb here, divine love, but it's speaking of a group of people, those who are loved divinely. Which means that those that are loved, loved by whom? Those that are loved by God. A group of people loved by God that were in Him before the foundations of the world, in His thoughts, His attributes. And God ordained that they would be adopted, ordained that they would be accepted in Him, in His love. Ordained that they would be blameless in His presence. So how are you going to stop that? This then lets us know that there's a group of people that are loved by God. Then it also tells us that there has to be people who are not loved by God. And in Romans 9 and verse 11, we read, for the children, and now he's speaking of Jacob and Esau, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he shall have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Therefore it is not what you choose, but what God chose in Himself before the world even was framed. From Divine Healing, Brother Branham said, listen, it's not him that wants to get saved that's saved. It's him that's saved by God's grace. Esau wanted to get saved too, and he wept bitterly, and he couldn't find no place to repent. He wanted to get saved. It ain't because you want to get saved. God said, I've hardened whom I will harden. I have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's right. He said, before Esau or Jacob either was born, not knowing right or wrong, God said, I love Jacob and hate Esau. And Esau tried to get right with God and he couldn't. And Pharaoh tried to get right with God and he couldn't do it. So it's not you, it's not what you want, it's what God has ordained for you to do. That's right. Paul said in the 9th chapter of Romans here, hasn't the potter got power over the clay to make an honored vessel or a dishonored vessel to show his glory to those who he has honored? You didn't know that, did you? That's what the scripture says. Pharaoh tried his best to repent. He was kind-hearted. He said, sure, I'll let you go. Go on. And God said, no, you ain't. I'm going to harden his heart so that you can't do it. Because God's word has to be fulfilled. And if we're living in this day, when formalities and things has broken the church down, broken away, why, it's God's word being fulfilled. As sure as God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. As sure as God said, these churches would be like they are now. God has also said this opposition would meet it. So the same God that ordained signs and wonders ordained that these should be persecuting against it. So there you are. If you're on the other side, why, I feel sorry for you. And I want you to, and I want you not to be that way, but maybe you just can't help it, see? God might have fixed it that way. That's quite a statement from a prophet of God, vindicated by God. So you see that they are condemned through representation, or lack of it. In Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. He said, this is the condemnation, that the light has come, and they love darkness rather than light. They're attracted to the darkness more than they're attracted to the light. Condemnation through representation. And we might add that we are conformed to the image of His Son by representation as well. Either we had representation in Him to begin with, or we never will have it. From the paradox, Brother Branham said, if the church could only realize what that you're here for, if the Pentecostal church could only realize what you're here for, what's your representation? Why did you come out of these things to be what you are? Why are you sitting here this morning when others aren't? You see? So we see that Paul tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son, and we know that if we were not in Him to begin with, We could never be conformed to this image or the image of his firstborn son, because we would not have any representation to begin with. In other words, Jesus was made in the image of his Father. And if Jesus came out of the loins of the mind of God, then you have to come out of the loins of the mind of God if you're going to be in the same image. Now that's Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being in the brightness or the reflection of his glory, and don't ever forget the word glory was translated from the Greek word doxa, which means the opinion, the estimation or the assessment, or the judgment, which is the very mind of God. So we see that he was the very reflection of the mind of God. And he was the expressed image. The Greek word for express image is the Greek word character. So we see that he was the expressed character of the Father. The Father's character expressed to the world of his person. In other words, the very nature of the person of God was on display through his Son. And upholding all things by the word of his power. And this speaks of God, for Jesus had no word but the Father's word. And he did nothing but what he seen the Father show him to do. And upholding all things by the word of God's power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Therefore, if Jesus was the express image of the Father, and we are to be conformed to this image, then what image are we to be conformed to? We're to be conformed to the word. For God is the word. Amen. Now then, what does it mean to be conformed to the image of the eldest son? It means to be conformed to the word because God is the word. And Jesus learned obedience to the word of God by the things that he suffered. From Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 we read, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now Brother Bram said from the Future Home, page 37, paragraph 4, he said, now you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved that he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure. But he couldn't recognize the expressed word of God. He only had an intellectual learning from some group that had been back before him. And it's the same thing today. You see, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was the word as spoken exactly for that day. And yet he was a scholar, yet he was a renowned person, but he could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholarly he was, anything like that, he didn't have representation of predestination. You see, only the predestinated will only be the ones that does it. Only can be. And you only can do it because, look, it proves predestination. Because if you got eternal life, you had to be a part of God at all times. Because he's the only one that's eternal, you see. Oh my, think of it. Therefore, the only way that you can become conformed to the image of the Son is by predestination. And that means that you had to have been foreknown by God, and in order to have been foreknown by God, you had to have been in God to begin with. Now just think of that. Conformed to the image by representation. God ordained it to you before you were ever born into this world. He ordained you to the adoption of sons while you were still in his mind before he ever created the world. And so if you did not have representation there, you never will have it at the end. And thus, if you were not in him and a part of him, then how can you inherit anything? If you weren't part of God, his seed, you certainly won't inherit from him. Now in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, we read, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God never gave the angels his own name, but he gave it to his son Jesus, and he also has given it to his children, his other children as well. Notice Jesus obtained his name Jesus by inheritance. Now how did he do that by inheritance? Did he have to wait till he was adopted? No. When he was born, his name became Jesus. Why? Because his father's name was Jesus. When my daughters were born, they took on the name Kosorek because my name is Kosorek. By inheritance, they got my name. And when you're born again, you receive his name. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There we are. So who's your real dad? that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is that breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages without end. Amen. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. So I hope you see this morning that we are to be conformed to the image, the same image that Jesus was conformed to, and that is the Word. And the only way that we can do that is if the very life of the Spirit that was in Jesus be in us. And we know that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, and we know that he had to be in God in the beginning, if we had to be in God also in the beginning, if we are ever to come into his image. And if we are to come to the place of adoption, we must have the mind of the Father, even as Jesus did nothing but what the Father showed him to do first. That is the spirit of adoption. And that is the image that we must come and will come to if we were in him to begin with. Now, just to be in the message is not enough. You must have been in Christ before the world was ever framed. You have to have had representation in him then, or you will never have it. For God is eternal, and he changes not. In his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, number 3, Brother Branham said, Now we had 70 ordained, or Jesus had 70 ordained preachers with him. He thought he had a little bit too much of a crowd there, so the crowd walked away from him. So he had the ordained minister sitting there, and he set them out. He sent them out, 70 of them. And he said, What will you say when you see the Son of Man ascending into heaven from whence that he came? Now he never explained it. And then preachers, they said, Well, this man ascending up into heaven from whence he came, why, we know him. We know his mother. We've been to the stable where he was born. We've seen the cradle that he was rocked in. We fished with him. We're laying out here on the banks with him. And this Son of Man ascending up from whence he came, he come from Bethlehem. That's where he came. Why, that's too much for us. And they walked away from him. He never explained it. He didn't have to explain anything. God don't have to explain nothing. He just does it because he promised it. And he don't explain it. Then here's why only 12 was left. And he turned around and looked at them. And he said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. He didn't explain who it was. He didn't point out the one that was a devil. He said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. He said, Do you want to go too? Then Peter said those great words, To whom shall we go, Lord? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life. They had seen it so clearly vindicated. No matter what the priest said, what anybody else said, they knew right there that he had the word of life. And he said, You have the word of life. And now we notice no matter what the others done, how they walked away, those disciples were predestinated. They were ordained to eternal life. No, they couldn't explain it. They couldn't explain it no more than the rest of them could. But there was something in them, that representation in heaven, a thought that God had of them before the foundations of the world had manifested itself there. And they were connected with God. And we're sure that was God's promise vindicated. And nothing's going to change it from them. That's real, genuine Christianity. And in a sermon, Future Home, Brother Branham said, Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the three stages. It was an attribute first. It wasn't God, that he thought of himself as being human, and that transmitted him down to be Jesus. And now if you'll ever be there, you was with him then. For there's only one form of eternal, and that's God. And you had to be a part of God at the beginning. It's not what you just chose down here. He chose you. All the Father has given me will come. Now look at this priest here. We find his bottom part here, his back life, back behind him, his predestination back here is sinful. Here's hell down here. Now, this little part in here looks like the blackboard. And Brother Branham's drawing a diagram on the blackboard. He draws a circle with the priest. He draws a circle with the prostitute. He said that represents his purity. He was a priest. He was an honorable man. And Brother Branham draws the circle. He draws him all white except for one little dot, which is the black color of the blackboard, which is black. He draws a circle with the woman. He leaves it all black, which is the blackboard, but he draws one little dot of white in it. All right? He also had to be a good man or he couldn't be a priest. But you see how that he got with intellectual learning. Now, this little woman, her first life up here, she was a prostitute. She was all marred up. But way down in here was just a little bit of understanding. Now, notice what he said. He didn't try to make this thing some mystical thing. He didn't try to say, in here was a little spark of life. In here was this, that, or this. He said, in here was a little bit of understanding. Don't let that sink from your mind. I know when the Messiah cometh, see, that was there. Notice when Jesus came and manifested the Word, because the Word discerned the thoughts that was in the heart. Hebrews chapter 4 says it, 4 and 12, that he would. The Word was a discerner of the thoughts of the heart, and he came as a son of man, the prophet. And what happened? The priest was only intellectual learning. He said, it's a devil, because that's what his denomination called it. What did it do? He had no representation, so it blacked him out. His so-called white and pious and righteous self became a murderer, breaking all the laws so that they could crucify him on the Sabbath. But this little woman that had nothing to present, she was as filthy and dirty as could be. But notice, way down in her, she's got representation. There was a spark of understanding down in her. And then she was looking for this to be made flesh. And when he said, go get your husband and come here, she said, sir, I have none. And he said, you said the truth because you've got five. And now the one that you're with is not yours. You've had five. That makes six that you have. And she said, sir, not your Beelzebub, no. But she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now we know that when Messiah, which is called Christ, will come, he will show us these things. He will do this. And he said, I am he. No more doubt. He didn't have to explain it. She saw it and believed it, and away she went. Why? What did it do to her? It redeemed her back. Now watch, he came to be a redeemer, is that right? What does redeem mean? It means to bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. How can you redeem something that was never in the representation to begin with? You see, he had no representation. He came to redeem that which had been fallen. In the fall, this got messed up of that girl. And God had her in his thinking before the foundations of the world, and he come to cleanse her. Then he has to have eternal life. See? Where the priest, where did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. He had nothing to begin with. Only intellectual learning. Now listen, friend. If the only thing that you've got is just intellectual learning, you get something different from that. And you'll never be able to get it unless you got representation. Why do you think they have such a hard time with understanding there's one God, he had a son? There's no representation there. That's the reason I believe that you come from the east and west, north and south. The Word living, made alive, made manifest. Notice now how that he makes his way known by his prophets in the beginning. He's never changed. And there's a blank spot on the tape that says editor. And then salvation. He's justified a man, sanctified him, sent the Holy Ghost in fire and burnt the sin out of him and dwelt in him himself. He does the earth that he's going to use in a plan of redemption the same way. It repented and was baptized in water in it by Noah. Jesus come and sanctified it by dripping his blood upon it, and he claimed it. And in the new earth that's to come, is to have a holy fire baptism to clean it of every devil, every germ, every sickness, everything that there is, and make it anew. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You become a new person. Amen. Not just an old patched up one by joining church or trying to turn a new page, but you are completely a brand new unit. God takes the old man and burns him completely out with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he comes himself and sends down your representation. No man can come to me except my Father has drawn him, and all the Father has given me will come to me. See? You see it? Same plan, same way. So you see this morning that the only way that we can be conformed to the image of God's only begotten Son is to become conformed to the Word of God. The word conformed in the Greek, it means to shape the nature, which is to develop the character. Therefore, when we are conformed to the image of His Son, we will have our nature and we will have our nature and thus our character changed, and the character of God Himself will take over our mortal being, bringing us into oneness with God and His Word. For Jesus prayed that we would be one with God in St. John 17. And Brother Ram told us that the oneness with God is to be one with His Word, even as Jesus was one with God, or with God's Word. And that can only come if you had representation in Him to begin with. If you did not, then something is going to take you out of the way. And you did not have, if you did not have representation in God to begin with, if you were not chosen in Him to begin with, then you are not a part of Him, and then you will not inherit His name, nor will you be adopted as sons. From St. John chapter 17, let's read it, verse 11. Jesus speaking here, He says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one." Now Jesus said that they may be one even as We are one. That they may be one in the same manner We are one. So if God and Jesus are one like your fingers one, then we have to be one like your fingers one. And it's not that way. And how is it that we might be one even as? Which means in the same manner as Jesus and His Father were one. Jesus said in verse 14, "I have given them Thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus tells us that we become one with God through the same word that He became one with God. And in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they may all be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We, in the same manner as We are one." Therefore, it is very apparent that we are only one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. "And the glory which Thou gavest Me," and remember, glory is the word doxa, and it means the opinion, assessment, and judgment. "So the opinion," Jesus says, "that Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We," or in the same manner as We are one. Now from the harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, "that they might be one, Father, as You and I are one." Not for some man to be over something. It never would work that way. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. And that's what the prayer is. That. And He was the Word. And Jesus prayed that He might be the Word reflecting Him. That's His prayer to be answered. See? See how Satan scruples it up with the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all. That we might all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time that they do it, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be one, must be that one with God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we love You, Lord, with all our heart, and we have seen scriptural proof this morning that we are to be conformed to the image of Your Son. And it is because that it is a good pleasure of Your will that we do so, and that You chose us to be conformed to the image of Your Son. And we know that He was conformed to Your image, Your nature, Your character. And we know that He learned obedience by suffering. And we know that also, Father, that this is Your way for us to take on Your very nature and character as well. You said if we do not suffer with Him, we will not reign with Him. Therefore, Father, may we yield to Your Spirit and Your Word. And when You choose for us to suffer, may we know that You're working in us the character of Your eldest Son, Jesus. And we thank You for allowing us to be despised and rejected of men, to be men of sorrow and acquainted with grief, that we might come forth in the image of Your Son. Father, we ask that You would bless us, and so we shall be blessed. Father, we ask that You would transform us, and so we shall be transformed. Conform us, O God, and we shall be conformed. Love us, and we shall be loved. Adopt us, and we shall be adopted. Grant to us Thy loving mercy and tenderness of spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name, that wonderful name that You gave Your Son, that He received through inheritance, and that we too shall receive through inheritance, for we ask it in Jesus' name.